love it. We love being in Maui, love being with my pastor, just love it. We get to Maui, you ask my wife, you ask my family, I cried for 35 minutes. Did, got a little fetal. I just need a minute because this place is healing. Oh, it's just, it does amazing things for my heart and my soul to be here and to be part of this church. And so I'm super, super honored to be with you and to be in the Word today. There's a lot of things that are very similar about Maui, Hawaii, and Vail, Colorado. Like the state fish, super similar. Ours is called trout. It's just a little bit easier. It's just a little bit easier. We've been coming for many years. I still can't do your state fish. It's just, I get all into the moo-moo part, and I'm like, is that a cow or what? I don't get it. What's the deal? Put some hoofs in there in the water and some fins. That's what's, anyway, so we're blessed to be with you. We're going to be in Psalm 23 today. Just a supernatural portion of Scripture. God's hand upon it. His breath just comes right through this word. This is one of these texts that when we read it, right, it's as though we are hearing and pressing in to the very face of God. It's been the scripture that's probably been spoken at maybe a memorial you've been to or a funeral. It's one of those scriptures you go to when times have been rough. Maybe you find yourself in that valley that feels like the shadow of death, and you've gone right there to Psalm 23, and so it's brought comfort for you. I think about how many amazing preachers have shared this portion of scripture. The theologians are just generation upon generation, and God uses it every time supernaturally, every single time. And there came a time in my life just a couple months ago where I found myself just in need of being held by the shepherd in a new way, in a fresh way. And I was looking all through the Word because you know that's the place you go when you're in need of being held by God. And so I'm in the Word and I'm going back and forth and all through it. I'm telling you, there was no place that gave me comfort like Psalm 23. It was pressing into the shepherd's hands. It was being in that place of understanding his character and his heart for me personally. And it ministered to me in such a profound way that I want to share it with you today. I know that this season in life is one of those ones that can kind of sneak up and get us emotionally in ways we never even imagined. You know, Thanksgiving comes and there's elements of pain sometimes wrapped up in these holidays, and it can hit you without even knowing it. Maybe it's just the love and the longing to be near someone that you care for deeply. Or maybe it's just remembering things that your family did, and it can kind of seize our heart and cause us to feel a sense of loneliness. And we know this to be true about the holidays. So my hope is that if you came in here and maybe there's a place in your heart that's feeling that sense of longing for comfort, then you would allow today the shepherd to place his hands upon you. That you would allow your heart to be held by the King of all creation. As we read the text, as we walk through it together as a family, will you join me? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father God, we love you. And this morning are so blessed to just climb into your arms, Abba Father, and receive comfort from you. For God, we know that in this world there are so many elements that try to provide comfort for us that fall so short. And there is no comfort aside from you. And so, Lord, would you draw so near to our hearts today? Would you incline your ear to us and hold us and keep us? We love you, shepherd of our souls. In Jesus' name. Amen. And my son, the second we get here, Ricky's like, come on, we're going to the beach, you know. So we get in the car and we go right down to Napili Bay, and we weren't even there 3 seconds, but he's dragging the whole family into the water. He's like, it's time for a little saltwater therapy, you know, to bob around in the bay, which we did and made look very good, I'll be honest with you. But there was a moment where I looked at my son, and Ricky was kind of teaching him about some stuff with water, and I said, son, listen to everything he says. Anything he says. I mean, if anybody knows water, it's Ricky. If anyone's a waterman, it's Ricky. Just listen to what he says. And so he had kind of started to have him just floating on his back. And he said, just relax, because my hands are right here. And in that moment, I realized, oh, that's the same comfort I feel when I'm near my earthly shepherd. I feel like Ricky's hands come in, and he just gets to kind of hold me. And there's things that happen in my heart and in my life that become stronger because I'm in the earthly shepherd's hand. How much more when we're resting in the shepherd of our souls? There's something so powerful about all the names and the attributes that are given to our God throughout the scriptures. Jehovah Rapha, the healer, right? The comfort of our souls. He is our wisdom and our hope. He is the comforter. He is the great I am. And when we proclaim these names of who our God is, it's meant to satisfy a place and a need within our heart. Now, David, as he wrote this psalm, proclaims the Lord as his shepherd. See, and there's a beautiful holiness to this picture of our God being our shepherd. Jesus, in John chapter 10, verse 10, would say that, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep. This picture of selflessness, of grace, and of goodness are wrapped up in the holy name of the Lord being our shepherd. Jesus, when he would give us a model of prayer, would say, right, in this manner, therefore, you should pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. There's no other name on earth that a man may be saved. It is in you and by you that I have hope and peace for eternity. And so David says, oh, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, David understood this very personally because he was a shepherd, right? We know several things about Deford. He was a man after God's own heart. He was a worshiper. He had a delight in his heart, and he was fashioned in a way to bring honor unto God. And here he was also a shepherd. And as a young man, he knew what it was like to care for sheep. He knew the needs that would come for every last little sheepling he had to keep them safe from the prowling, devouring claws of the enemy, right? To feed them so that their bodies would be nurtured and healthy and have all the nutrients they'd need. To guard, protect physically, and to watch them over their souls physically. Amazing. He understood this because he practically did it. He knew what it was to be a good shepherd. He truly would have understood what it was like to see bad shepherds, right? You could see that from a distance and the brokenness that would take place within the sheep. And we know that David was after God's own heart, and therefore he was a good shepherd. He did his very best as he could as a man. And yet when he goes to the Lord and he's empowered by God's hand, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I want to read a little quote from Spurgeon to you. I love how Spurgeon puts this. He says that a sheep is an object of property, not a wild animal. Its owner sets great store by it, and frequently it is bought with a great price. It is well to know, as certainly as David did, that we belong to the Lord. There's a noble tone of confidence about this sentence. There's no if, no but, no I hope so, but he says the Lord is my shepherd. He's content with who God is in his life. And I think one of the places that we begin to find comfort is when you and I understand the holiness of God's name and his heart for us, that he longs to be near, protecting, guiding, covering, and leading us in life. And so when we stop and say, God, you are my shepherd, and it is in you that I find all of my needs satisfied, there's power that comes. See, and if we're going to find healing, we need to know where to rest. Because the reality for us is often we're resting in the wrong stuff. We say, the Lord is my shepherd, but I'm going to fill this need for me, and I like a little bit of that, and this will help a lot. And if I take that and eat this and run this way, and I try to find my fill in all these things of the world, and really what we're saying is, oh, you're a good shepherd, but I find my needs filled by the things around me. David doesn't say that. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If you've been longing, if there's just been a hole in your heart and in your soul and your family that you've been longing to be filled, the first place to start is being content with your shepherd. Nothing this world provides can comfort the way our King does. I'm content with my shepherd. He says he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, there's a great book out there by a man named Philip Keller. He wrote a book called A Shepherd's View of Psalm 23. He was a shepherd in Africa and had shepherded many different flocks of sheep and different circumstances and has a great knowledge of sheep as an animal. And there's some beautiful little points that I gleaned from his book that I just love about a sheep that applies to you and I. And this statement that David makes is he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." See, being near to the shepherd causes a sheep to have a certain peace and comfort to actually be able to lay down. Because as it turns out, sheep are really hard to make lie down. You guys are super hard. I am super hard to get to lie down. We're busy all the time, right? It's that statement that we all make when someone says, "Hey, how you doing?" "I'm just busy, pretty busy, just super, wow, busy. Whew. Am I, right?" Who, everyone. Has anyone said that? Because if you didn't put your hand up, I know you're lying too. You know, when I come to church, lying. We say it. We're busy. And what David says is, look, he makes me lie down in green pastures. So when I draw near to the shepherd, when I understand his character, his name is holy, and I invite him to be near to me, and I'm in awe of his presence, right, certain things are removed from my life that allow me to sit to lie down. So one of the things that sheep will not lie down if there is fear. They won't. See, if you're frightened of making your rent and frightened of the bank account looks like this or frightened of things that are going on in a relationship with family or fear of your life in itself, chances are you're not resting with your king. Chances are you're not just set in his hands saying, "I shall not want, that you provide for me in all things." A shepherd, when he is near, right, he stands ready against the enemy. And when that shepherd is near, the little coyotes are like, "Whoa, okay, the dude's got a big stick, whoa." And they move away. That's what happens when the shepherd's near. And so when you and I call upon him and say, "I shall not want, I want you near to me," right, fear is dispelled. I remember how I felt when our daughter was born and just that sense of trying to somehow will her to live every night, right? Just, I don't know if you ever felt that as a new parent, but she's still breathing. Yeah, you just checked a second ago. I know, but she's breathing. Pretty sure. Oh, okay, get a mirror. You know what I mean? Just constantly, like somehow I'm going to do that, right? So as a new parent, you're like, "No, listen, I want that fear to leave. God, she's yours. God, he's yours. He belongs to you, and you stand guard over her crib. You stand guard over my life and my heart." See, when the shepherd's near, fear leaves, and the sheep can lie down. Tension is another reason why sheep won't lie down. And tension is caused many times within a herd when one sheep is nipping at the backside of another sheep. Right? Maybe like today you're like, "No, no, it's that guy 3 aisles over, and I'll tell you when." I go, "Okay, hey, what's the deal," right? And a lot of times we won't lie down when we're the ones backbiting. And guys, we have got to be watching what we say with our words. What happens in our heart, right? And the condition of our heart comes out through our words. And so if backbiting and gossip are an active part of our life, it needs to be taken out. Tension will leave when we all of a sudden surrender our words and our heart unto the shepherd. He comes in and he removes that sheep. He says, "Listen, you're going to move. You're going to be out of the pack," and he'll remove it. And once that tension is removed from the backbiting one who is trying to get its way, then there's peace for the sheep, and they rest. So I need to examine my heart. We need to examine our heart. Imagine, and here's a great way to do it, right? If you find yourself just quickly surveying everyone's aloha shirt and going, "Well, that's a little bit out of line. You can tell that guy's from the mainland." Just imagine the shepherd right here, like, "Can you believe she wore that dress to..." If the shepherd's right next to you, like, "Because she's your daughter and looks beautiful in that dress." If the shepherd is near, chances are your words are going to be different. They are. In Colossians chapter 3, it's a great portion of scripture on this. Paul would talk about being the elect of God, holy and loved. And in verse 16 of Colossians chapter 3, he says, see, Colossians, is that the Old Testament? Lost my thing. There it is. He says, "Listen, let kindness and put this garment of love upon." And he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? Our good shepherd, and giving thanks to the Father. So if your mouth has been running wild and judgment has been quick in your heart, right? Tensions in your life, chances are you're not resting, and chances are you're causing there to be tension so others aren't resting. And the moment we have the shepherd standing near, my lips, the words on my lips become accountable, and the shepherd takes away that tension that will allow me to rest. So fear, tension. Another one is aggravation. These are those things, little parasites that will take place literally home within the nostrils of the sheep. They just kind of find their home there. And if a sheep have, if there's all sorts of parasites and bugs and these things that are aggravating the sheep physically, they won't lie down. So it's fear or it's tension or aggravation, these little things that just keep bugging. And a good shepherd, will have different types of oils and will literally rub oil inside the nostrils of the sheep that cause the parasites to flee. When the oil, right, the presence of God is in our life, the little things that are bugging us flee. They just do. So what's bugging you? Because really, in the scope of eternity, it's little. It's just a little thing. And when the shepherd is near with his oil, it's gone. I can't tell you how often I'll have that moment where something's bugging me, and it's just nothing. It's really not like, what am I freaking out about that for? It's nothing. And what gets that to flee from my life is when I know the shepherd is right near. And he anoints me with that balm, and that those little things that bug us flee. And then finally, hunger. My sheep won't lie down if there's fear, if there's tension or aggravation, and they will not lie down if they're hungry. Guys, we devour so much stuff as sheep. We really do. We devour just every new book and all new things and all the stuff and all and everything that's going on, and we go hungry all the time. If you're not able to rest in the green pasture, if you're feeling like life is just overwhelming and too busy, it is time to have the meal. It's time to get in it, day in and day out. And when we invite him to be near and we listen to his voice, oh, we can feel his hands holding us above the water. It's inviting the shepherd near. He leads me beside the still water. So he makes me to lie down in the green pasture, but he also leads the sheep by the still water. The still water, not the crazy fast-moving water, right? A shepherd will know this about a sheep. Sheep will wander off into whatever's placed before them. If they're thirsty and a shepherd takes them right down to the roaring river, they just go, okay. And then they just go downstream fast, down the roaring fast river. It's like watching a tourist at Sandy Beach in Oahu. I don't know if you've ever been there. Great fun. Million signs, right? Break your neck. A picture of a guy, broken neck, broken arm, broken leg, right? Some weird thing happening to this guy's head. There's like 1,200 signs that say, do not go into this water, right? And there's a bunch of people with the same sunburn I have going, okay, honey, let's go in and get photos with the kids. Wham! And these waves are just slamming them to the ground. Just wandering off. That's what we are, sheep. Because we do that when the shepherd's not near. We'll wander into the fast-moving water. We'll devour it up. And so you have to think and look at what our world is grabbing hold of, the fast-moving water that the world is just devouring. Any new book that comes up, ooh, what's the new book? It's at Costco. It's got to be amazing. It's got to be amazing. It's right near the desserts, and that's good. So it's got to be great. And we just devour it. Hey, if everyone's doing it, chances are you shouldn't devour it. Chances are it's fast-moving water that will destroy your foundation of faith, will lead you away into some man or woman's philosophy or theology, and you'll find yourself no longer standing on firm foundation. See, when the shepherd is near, he leads us by the still water. Now, another thing a shepherd will do, especially if there's no water nearby, is a shepherd will cause the sheep to stir early in the morning. He'll get them up real early. Because you see, in the early morning, the dew is found on the grass. And so he'll cause them to start grazing in early morning, and that water on the grass itself will literally hydrate. I think it's absolutely a great argument to start morning devotions. Wake up early. Hey, if you're finding that you're parched, and you're feeling that lonely emptiness, or things are out of whack, and there's fear, it's time to wake up early and be with the King. Be with your shepherd and let him speak to you. He leads us by the still waters. He restores my soul. Now, in the Hebrew, this phrase, restores my soul, can be translated to brings about or brings me to repentance, to turn me right. Often we find ourselves sort of feeling like we're cast down and lost and empty, right? And the brokenness of memories and pain that are going on cause us to feel that sense of like we're in the valley, the shadow, and there's loneliness in it, to be cast down. Psalm 42, verse 11 reads, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the hope of my countenance and my God." There's a word that's used for sheep. It's called a cast sheep. It's one that is flipped upside down and not right. And this happens all the time. Sheep get cast. They get lost. There's three reasons why a sheep will find itself cast or feeling upside down. And if your soul feels like it is cast down and you're feeling upside down in the world and kind of in need of being flipped upright, you'll understand this. There's three reasons why a sheep will find its way that way. The first is we get too comfortable. And so a great field, oh, and the shepherd takes the sheep out there and they're just nibbling away and things are good and finds a little cozy spot. Oh, look at this spot, a little nook maybe in the field. There's daisies and butterflies and unicorns. And it'll just begin to nestle down. So I'm good right here. Oh, I'm really good right here. Next thing you know, sheep will find itself just, oh, wow, look at the clouds, the butterflies. But when it's time to get moving and effective, the hooves will get going and they can't move because they're stuck in that comfy spot. And it happens. A sheep can go 3 days before it'll die if a shepherd doesn't get to it and flip it upright. Guys, we get too comfy. We think, well, you know, I got everything's going great. Bank account's great. Live in Maui. Wow. I mean, things are good. And we forget that God wants us continuing to move. He wants us healthy, not comfy. He wants us alive because there are people who are perishing without the knowledge of the Good Shepherd. And so we got to keep moving. And so we can get too comfy. The second thing that can happen is we can just get too fat. We just can. It happens. So they get too comfy out there. And other ones are, the sheep are just, oh, it's good. This is good. And you get a little deeper. And this is all good. And so what happens is you and I, we got every book, every commentary, every daily devotional that's on the planet. We're reading. We're checking out Ricky's sermons online and everyone else's sermons online. And we're just sitting over there. Oh, wow. And we're just fat sheep. And God wants it that we're moving. See, when we're moving, we're healthy. Well, our legs are limber and our life is limber and we're able to be used not only in the flock but in the world. And so sometimes it's simply that we're eating, but it's been a long time since we've said, God, use me. I want to show up for the Thanksgiving thing. I want to show up for the Advent thing. I want to show up and serve. How can you use me? It's time, guys, if you find yourself cast upside down, to just get squeezed out and get lean and mean. And the finals, we get overgrown. See, a shepherd will take care of the wool on a sheep and make sure that it's shorn at the right times and so that it doesn't get unkempt. If a sheep finds itself out in the field, kind of cozy, a little bit plump, and there hasn't been a shepherd around, right, taking the stuff that needs to be off and making sure the wool is fine, the wool just gets way crazy. There is a sheep online called Goliath. You can see him. He's like, boom, that guy needs some help. He needs to be near the shepherd. That's all there is to it. It's interesting that wool in the scriptures, right, the priests would not wear wool into the temple because wool represented selfish pride, the pride of the flesh. And you and I go, well, we're pretty comfortable and we got things going on and actually I'm really incredibly intelligent. And have you seen my Bible? Wow. Bang, do you see that right from one hand to the other? What? Did that just happen? Yes, it did. And all we kind of feel like we know it. Well, I know that psalm. I can recite that psalm. I knew when I was a kid. We find ourselves all unkempt and upside down. He then goes on to say, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Here's what's interesting. Your life bears witness to God's name. The places you go, the things you do, the things I do, bear witness to who our God is. Here's what sheep do when they're left to their own. They'll just simply make ruts. They'll stay in the same place, doing the same thing time and time again. And what will happen to the fields when there are sheep without a shepherd near is they just wander down that field, eating, and they go, okay, where should we go? Oh, let's go back. And they eat back along that aisle, and they'll go down into the ground to get all the roots out, so much so that nothing else will ever grow in that land. Absolutely destroys and makes these ruts across the field. Well, see, that bears witness to the owner of that field. It's a bad shepherd. There's not hope and not life in that field. In fact, it would bear weight on the value of that field. A good shepherd will move the sheep right where he wants to move them, to where the better food is and the new thing. So maybe God has been moving you, or you felt like you're right where you are, and you hear him calling you someplace else. It's time to move where God wants you to move. It's time to not just simply be in the path that you've always done, but let God do something fresh right now. And so when we examine our heart and we go, well, I've always just done it this way, maybe it's time to say, well, Lord God, but how do you want it done? Because chances are we've created a rut and we've begun to follow down it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Right, did anyone else fear? Hey, there's the roof. Did anybody else fear that portion of scripture when you were younger? I didn't like it. That's the one with death in it, and it freaked me out, right? Every time you'd read it, get to that point. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Just kind of, anyone else? It's only me. I'm the only freaked out one. Okay, so it kind of felt that way, like, oh no. That's not, and when we read it, we sit, but here's the deal. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley. David understood the truth of a shepherd is to take the sheep from one great field to another that's better, in a better season. And the reality of these valleys and the crevasses and the whole things that they would lead the sheep through is they would lead them through to the better place. Now, the truth of every one of our trials that we're in today, if you feel like I am in a valley of a shadow of death, is this. God will bring you, if he is your shepherd, to a better field. Even if this valley, at the end of it, it is death to your body. Because we have the hope of the kingdom of heaven. That's the truth for Jason today. Jason understands the fullness of being brought through the valley of the shadow of death and now standing in the presence of the shepherd of his soul. The peace that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. See, the shepherd of our soul, the father of all creation, saw our need. And he chose to send his only begotten son that whomsoever will believeth on him will not perish but have everlasting life. He sent his son to be literally the payment for your sin and for my sin, to redeem us and to hold us that we might have the hope of that future glory. And so, yes, it's through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, here's the deal. Shadows are wild, right? They can be pretty creepy. So I had a situation take place in my home where, I don't know where my notes are. Okay, there we are. Where my office is right outside my son's room, and he had gone to bed, and it was kind of late, and I was going back in to get something off of the office desk, and I walked in there, and the light was on. I'm looking through some stuff, and I look over my shoulder through his bedroom door, and I see the thing that every parent hopes will never, ever, ever happen, and that is someone standing in my son's room. You know, my heart starts to just go super hard. So I'm psyching up like, boom, and I go running into the room, and as I get into his room, right, it was my shadow. Okay, wow. Well, I was kind of freaked out about my own shadow. Son wakes up, I'm like, hey, son, you just never know when I may bolt into your room. I do that to you're in junior high now, but I'm going to be around you your whole life. You go to college, dad's going to bust in. What's up? What's happening in here, man? I know, it says it's a confession. I was actually afraid of my own shadow, but we respond to these shadows, the shadow of death. If you have come to a place where you know the gift that God gave you, he gave you his son, Jesus, you've welcomed him into your heart, then you have a confidence. There's no longer a reality of death. It's a shadow. It's simply a shadow. There's the hope of the heaven, and we are meant to walk with that understanding. Listen to Spurgeon's quote on this. He says, death in its substance has been removed, and only the shadow of it remains. Someone has said that when there is a shadow, there must be light somewhere, and so there is. Death stands by the side of the highway in which we have to travel, and the light of heaven shining upon him throws a shadow across our path. Let us then rejoice. There is a light beyond. Nobody's afraid of a shadow, except for me. For a shadow cannot stop a man's pathway even for a moment. The shadow of death, the shadow of a dog cannot bite, the shadow of a sword cannot kill, and the shadow of death cannot destroy. As we close, I'm going to take these last couple verses, and I want you to see this great picture as David almost changes his focus and how he speaks. He says, you are my shepherd, you are my hope, you're the one that dispels all fear and tension and aggravation, and you feed me and you allow me to lie down, you put me in your still water, you restore me, you flip me upright when I'm with you, all of my hope is in you. He then begins to speak to him, and he says, you know, in you, I will not fear, for you're with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. He then gives this great picture of this table that's set before us in the presence of our enemies. And this is another one of those verses. Maybe you're like me, you're like, oh, that doesn't sound all that good. I mean, how many of you this morning said, hey, let's go over to Kumulani Chapel, then get a bunch of people that hate us and go to lunch? Who wants to do that, right? Like, well, you're like, yeah, that's what we did. That's actually what we're doing later. But pray for you, man. But David says, this is what you do. You pull me out of this world, out of the darkness, out of the enemy who hates me, who longs to devour at me, and you set me at a table that is meant for me. It's a table, that table, and the word represents this picture of a banquet that's personal. He says, you have prepared it for me. Do you know that God has something special for you? Do you know that? Do you know that you know that you know that God has a unique table for you to sit at, for you to dine at? And it's in the presence of everyone who would scoff. It's in the presence of the darkness of this world. It's a place of peace. And when you and I hoist up to that and we say, God, you are my shepherd and I shall not want, we get to eat that which he has provided for us personally. He's provided the spouse that he wants for you. He's provided the future for you that he wants for you. But so often we pull our chip to the wrong tables. We rush into the running water. We try to fix these things on our own instead of sitting at the table that he has set before us. Anointing our head with oil, the sign of being set apart, sanctified. The oil representing not only that you are chosen and set like the priests and the kings that were anointed for that job, but also represents healing and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He has chosen you to be healed completely, eternally, for his good pleasure. And he seats you at a table of his preparation. Oh, truly our cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, when these truths, church, start falling upon our heart, and we pull our chair up and we say, God, in no other hands do I want to be but yours. Oh, that's when we lie down. That's when we rejoice. That's when we draw the peace and the hope that we have sealed through our Savior Jesus. That's when living happens. That's when great mercy and goodness and kindness follow us because we have the hope of heaven. Will you stand with me? I'm going to invite the worship team to pray and our prayer team to come on down in front. And I just want to pray a little bit for us this morning. And so if you've walked in here and you're on vacation, you're like, life is good. It is good. And oh, I hope that your whole stay here and your life here is just full. But maybe there's still something in your heart that's felt a little upside down, a little stuck, or a little lost. And I just want to pray for you this morning. And most importantly, I want to give an opportunity for anyone who may have come here this morning that would like to put their trust in Jesus, that would like to truly have that sense of God's hands upon their life and being led eternally. So I just want to have you bow your heads with me this morning, and I want to pray for you. And if you're here with us at Kumulani Chapel in this beautiful place, and you'd like to receive Jesus in your heart, you'd like to have that hope and take death out of the equation, would you just raise your hand right where you are? So I can see you. I want to pray for you this morning. Oh, I see you. Praise the Lord. Just raise it high above you. Oh, hallelujah. Just there you go. Just pop it up. If you're just ready to be flipped upright and put your trust with the shepherd, raise your hand up high. Thank you, Jesus. Those of you that raise your hand, just we're going to start. Just pray right with me, right where you are. Thank you, Father in heaven. Thank you, Father, that you know me personally. And you've given me your son. Today I open my heart and ask that you would forgive me. Wash me clean with your blood, Lord Jesus. Fill me with your spirit and make me your own forever. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. And Lord God, as we just begin to worship you this morning, we ask that you would cover each of us here. And the Lord, to know how personally you think about us, that you've prepared something unique for each one of us. And we're asking, God, this morning that you would bring alive those places that have been aching, those places that have felt weary and lost, and that we could just rest in your hands. And so, Holy Spirit, move upon us. Maybe there's some here today that have just felt like they've been upside down. They've gotten too comfy. And today you're challenging them to move into new paths of righteousness. Maybe there are some here today that have just felt like the silly things of life have been bugging them too much and they need your hand upon their heart. Lord, we just invite you to come. Minister to us now. Move among us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hey, as we're worshiping, if God's put something on your heart and you need prayer for it, the prayer...